Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
How about those New York Jets? An improbable come-from-behind victory against the Cincinnati Bengals, finally getting off the Schneid, BT. A much-needed win for Aaron Glenn and for Justin Fields and really for the franchise to avoid a winless season, because it was looking like that might be the case after where they played against the Panthers a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and they needed this, obviously. You know, it just a brutal day for the Jet fan, and really just a brutal day for New York sports. Of course, I'm talking about Nick Mangold here. I think Nick was like the perfect combination of tough when you need to be in terms of being on the field and gracious and caring off. I think Hoff texted us, and I was watching my daughter's soccer game. So I was kind of unplugged from social media as I am when I'm watching my kids play. And I just heard the ding, and I'm like, I don't know that I've been that stunned in a while, bro. You know, when people get older, yeah, it's sad. Like when Coach Carteseca passed away and I was in Dallas during Thanksgiving, I was really sad, but he was 99, you know. And you're talking about a man with four children and a wife. You know, we get wrapped up in this radio thing and the sports thing and, you know, our teams. At the end of the day, it's just, you know, it really doesn't mean a whole lot. 41 years of age, so... that the Jets family did a phenomenal job with the tributes. You know, Darrell Revis and former players. I watched Bart on SNY. Willie Colon couldn't even speak before he was able to compose himself. Rex Ryan on ESPN was, I mean, bawling. This is a man who was loved by a lot of people, Nick Mangold, man. That's the first thing. Before we even get into the game, it's like I can't shake it. You know, it's weird. I still feel it and I still think about it. And it's eventually going to pass, you know, and he's in a better place. I certainly believe that. But the suddenness of this, like, we just had him on the show. You were off. I had him on August 26th.
Okay.
He was on our show.
I don't remember it, so that's all.
You
I
were off okay. August 26th. And, you know, when you hear kidney and dialysis and transplant, you know there's urgency there. But didn't you think there were at least a couple of months runway to get this thing
100%
stabilized?
And I figured somebody was going to donate the kidney to him and get him all good to go and back up and running, however that would take. I was shocked when I saw it on social media. Shocked and disturbed, like you said. It takes a lot for me to get to that level, just being through some of the stuff that I've been through. It's not 41 years old. It's like,
yeah,
come on, man.
Yeah,
that's horrible. I did not, and such like you said, such a big personality and lovable personality for years, even without knowing him. You could feel that across the TV or wherever it was, hearing him on the radio, all those different things. I didn't realize, though, that the Jets, so he's in their Ring of Honor?
Yeah. Yeah.
So then I knew that they were on it, but I get the Ring of Honor confused. I assume that Ring of Honor is also number retired. Like 74 should be retired.
Yeah, sometimes I get confused with that too. I mean, a guy's going to be a Hall of Famer eventually.
Yeah.
His numbers are there. You're talking about, you know, seven Pro Bowls and a couple of All Pros. Everybody knows what he did. But the thing about the Jets that's really unique and why he's unique, think about some of their all-time players. And he is one of their all-time players. Like, Revis was an all-time player, but he bounced. And he won a championship elsewhere. And, you know, Namath fizzled out with the Rams and, you know, Keyshawn left and Curtis came from the Pats and I could go so on and so forth. But there's very few players in Jets history that played their entire career here and were really associated with winning. If you really think about that, what Jets win that you really think about? That guy was a winner. Well, he was. I mean, he went to back-to-back AFC championship games and he was a great, great player. So it is really, really sad. And it keeps pouring in, and we'll keep his spirit alive. I don't know what else to say. I really don't. I think about the stuff, and I really struggle. And then we'll get to some game stuff. I don't know if you do this too. I struggle when it's tragic. I don't mean an older figure. Well, even though that could be sad for sure. When there's a tragedy, I always feel like I'm not going to say enough. Like I'm not going to be able to communicate what's really in my heart. Like I don't, because it's a different conversation. We're used to opening up the microphone and letting it rip and talking shop, but. So I just hope that everybody knows how much this man was loved. You do. You absolutely do. And I hope that you know how much I love him. Nick was the best.
And it was nice to see the Jets honor him by getting a win yesterday, their first one, obviously on the road like that, comeback fashion. A really incredible performance, BT, when you think about it. And this is something that I was a week early with this. This is something that I expected them to do against the Panthers a week ago. Run the football. You don't need Garrett Wilson or Sauce Gardner to stick to your strengths running the football. And that's something obviously Mangold could have been proud of. Behind that offensive line, run the football. That's when they had their success years ago with him up front, with DeBrickishaw Ferguson, all that stuff. So the Jets are built to do that, and they haven't done it nearly enough this year at all. As a matter of fact, I would say the Fields yesterday, I was expecting him to run a little bit more. He wasn't running it. He was throwing the football. So an overall incredible comeback. I'm not going to say it was a great performance because it wasn't. I mean, down as big as they were, just on the brink of getting the knockout punch, but they hung in there. They did show grit to the head coach's pleasure. He loved to see that, a nice gritty performance. But an impressive win to get their first win, get off the schneid, and maybe calm things down a little bit, getting that goose egg off the board.
And I enjoyed it. And I know not every Jet fan did, which is part of the torturous history of being a Jet fan. Because now I don't think this is the majority of people, because it's still a little bit too early in the season for this. But I've seen some stuff. I've even got some texts from buddies. Here we go. Jets going to give up the first overall pick because of this win. Guys, I mean, it's too early for that. And I've been criticized for this. Not that I care, but I've been very open with you guys. Like, when it's late in seasons and the Jets are awful, I'll bet against the Jets. When it's late in the season and we're talking about first, second, third overall pick, I don't want the Jets to win. This is different. First of all, if the Jets, and I never thought they were going to go winless. I never thought that at all. But if they did, there's zero chance Aaron Glenn comes back. And I don't know if Aaron Glenn's going to eventually be the guy who gets the Jets out of the doldrums here, but you know, you've got to at least give them a chance to plant some seeds and stack some bricks here. So I don't get wrapped up in the draft stuff, number one. I thought they played hard, which is great. I don't know how they won. I still don't know how they scored almost 40 points.
Oh, the Bengals stink.
I know, but so did the Jets are worse. Yeah. I mean, we all know the Bengals' defense is wretched, but we all know that the Jets are right there with the Titans and the Browns. So when I found out about Nick's passing, I was watching my daughter's game. When I had to leave and my son had a football game, so I was watching and then DVRing whatever, the daily juggle that a lot of us do. When I told him that the Jets won when we got in the car, he's like, what? And then we went back and we watched it. And like, even though I knew that they won, there were still points in the game. I'm like, there's no way they're going to get this first down. There's no way they're going to win this game. There's no way they're going to convert
this. Did you do the pod yesterday?
I did not do the pod.
No pod?
I didn't. No. I know. I just had too many family commitments.
They finally won.
I know. At the end of the day, family's going to win out. Trust me, it's one of the only pods. It's the only pod that I've missed, and I'm gonna make one up either tonight or tomorrow for sure. But I couldn't do the immediate reaction. I let people know. Yeah, it would have been nice to get on there and talk about a win.
Yeah.
It really would have been nice. Now, where does this go, like, in the context of the standings? I don't even care. Like, that's not the story. The story is the clown owner ran over the quarterback with a Mack truck during the week. The slings and arrows were everywhere, and the Jets showed a little character and a little fortitude on the road against a very good offensive team that is awful on defense, and they won a game. So I'm not going to make too much more out of it than it really is, except that I'm happy because, you know, the day that we lost Nick, the Jets did find a way to win. But I am happy for Aaron. Like, and you and I do share this belief. We don't agree with everything with the Jets and Glenn. You and I both think that there's leadership qualities with him that could come out and could be uplifting in the right circumstances, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I need to see him get through this now and build off of this. Even throughout the course of the game yesterday, there were certain things, like it kicking that first field goal after he went for it from his own 37.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you then, on fourth and one, settle for three? Now, again, you want to say take the points, okay, to add up to a Jets victory, but there are certain things just about the way he coaches where I still think, and it just could be a learning curve, first-time head coach, 0-7 going in, where he's on his heels a little bit. I'd like to see a little more decisiveness, a little more confidence there. I was perplexed by the broadcast being, they were dumbfounded by the fact that the Jets were going for two when they were down seven at the point.
Six.
They were down. They scored the touchdown.
Yep.
And they needed the extra point to get them to within seven.
Yes.
And they go for two. And that to me was the no-brainer right move, because if you don't get it there, you just go for two again. Like, that's an easy spot. And
they were surprised. You're right. The Broncos like, what are they doing?
It took them a little while to figure it out. So I thought that was the right call for Glenn.
Uh-huh.
And then obviously getting that call overturned, the right thing. So there were some good things, you know, some bad things as well. I mean, Chase Brown was gashing them all day long. They couldn't stop the run. So there's a long way to go. But the fact that they could bounce back in a game that they were on the verge of getting, blown out in, to come back and actually get a win. And I did think, after the way that they performed against Carolina, which to me was despicable, at home against the crappy Panthers, to perform like that, I did think they were going winless, or at least there was a real chance of that. So they bounced back and found a way to beat a bad Bengals team. I don't see many wins left on the schedule here, but now at least that they got the first one, rest up during the bye week here, and then kind of start season two, where you had the experience of eight games, you've got to win, you've got to bye. I'm very curious to see what Aaron Glenn's team looks like after the bye year against a soft schedule, but I still don't think the Jets are very good at all.
It gives you a different level of entry, though, and it's a chance now for Aaron to have some of his some of his messaging root now, because no matter how, and he's been combative and he's been a little antagonistic with the media. All right, it's fine if you win. If you don't, you're gonna get yourself run out of town. But I think that when you look at a team that's trying to learn how to win, you can say it over and over, and you can clap your hands, and you can dance up and down the sidelines, and you can gyrate and pump your fist and get everybody jacked up. If there's not a win to reinforce what you try to teach, it's impossible to move forward. Small step forward, but a step, and a good one. So it's good.
Needed the win. Sports Talk on WFAN, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Back to the calls here. We'll talk Jets and Giants. Zach is on Long Island talking about the Giants. What's up, Zach?
Hey, can you guys hear me this time around?
Yes, we got you.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for getting back to me. And listen, some of my steam had fallen off, and I may have missed a couple of your responses. But my reason for calling was just getting hot and bothered by a caller saying that we got to get rid of Daboll. I mean, I keep having this conversation with friends, family, coworkers, and I'm sick of it, honestly. Like, people keep saying get rid of Daboll, like you just hire the next guy and it's all going to be, rainbows and butterflies. I can't think of a harder job in professional sports or football, besides being an athlete, than the head coach. I say this all the time to my friends and family. It's skills over schemes. If you don't have the skills, the schemes don't really matter. People want to move on from Daboll and, get the next guy. What happened with Belichick? He was gone. I mean, the skills were gone when Brady left. Yeah. The schemes didn't matter. They weren't good.
Yeah, but hold on. But then they got the right guy in Vrabel after a one-year disaster, and look at them now.
I mean, that's fair enough, but they also got Derek May and a couple other.
All right, well, the Giants have Jackson Dart.
Zach, do you think?
What I want to get back to.
You think Dable's done a good job here as a head coach in 4 years?
I don't think he's done a good job, but he's had an incredibly difficult task at hand. He's had a garbage roster.
Well, everybody that gets fired, they could probably say the same thing. You either, because very rarely, outside of maybe Joe Torre and a few others, like how many times do you start a job where the roster's ready to roll? It's very rare. Generally, you take over a trash team, either the finances are out of whack or the roster's out of whack, and you have no quarterback. So I get it. But at the end of the day, Zach, you either elevate or you don't. And for me, I think for many, the elevation has not been enough. That's all I'm saying.
I have a quick question. I want to say one thing after this, but one quick question. Okay. Besides clock management, how do you really say a coach is doing a god-awful job?
He's picking bad defensive coordinators.
He's losing. That's how.
So that's not Daboll then. So yeah, why can't we roll over
it
some
is.
Of the other ones?
It is. Who is it? Who is it? It is Daboll. He's the head coach.
I mean, I guess you're fair. He's picking the staff. I understand that. I guess the staff's got to be better.
But Zach,
the scheme's got to be better. But how do you know a scheme is bad until you put it out there against other starting players? Schemes look good in practice because you're going against second, third string guys. Everything's good in practice.
Zach, look at, and thank you for the call. Look at his record. Look at how they've lost two games this year. They had no business of losing. They score a dagger touchdown on the road in Dallas under a minute to go. They lose that game. They do the same thing against the Broncos, and they lost again. And if you blame the defensive coordinator, great. And nobody likes the defensive coordinator. Who brought him in? If you don't like the players, then that's Joe Shane. It's year four. They've botched the kicker situation, which cost them games this year, last year. Like, they continue to lose. They're 2-6, and they found the answer at quarterback. Oh, and by the way, in case you forgot, look at what Daniel Jones is doing in Indianapolis. Why couldn't Brian Daboll do a fraction of what Daniel Jones is doing with Steichen in Indianapolis? Like, I'm sorry. I've been a bagel. A bagel. Yeah, I love bagels, too. I've been a Daboll backer. But, I just don't. Man, we're going to see 9 games. There's no need to make a decision now.
True.
But 2-6 is 2-6, and it's been that way for the last 3 years.
Listen, I can understand why Zach pushes back a little bit. I really can. Now, last year, I wouldn't have understood that at all because there was just no evidence. The evidence this year is, all right, he's got good synergy with the young quarterback, finally, which is what you are. That's mission number one. Find the quarterback. Find a coach that's compatible, whether it's personality and scheme, and let's roll with it. There's also a lot of evidence that he is not a plus coach in late in games, and for all the reasons that we just chronicled, I don't need to keep spitting them out. We know what they are. Now, but I do get what Zach is saying, and which is why we've got 9 more games to go, and we'll see where it goes here. I am just of the mindset, if they believe that they can identify a better coach, a proven coach, and unless it was like Lane Kiffin, who came from Ole Miss, and he did, coach in the NFL, not very good, not very well with the Raiders at all, like, I'd be open to that. I'm not just going to fire Daboll and say, well, what do I do now? Like, there's got to be a plan, and if the plan's appealing, well, then I'd move on. But there's also 9 games to show that maybe he is the right guy for the job. I'm less inclined than Zach, but I get it. I mean,
I'm just thinking, like, at some point, because I was like that a few weeks ago, saying I want to see what he could do with Jackson Dart. At some point, you got to start winning some football games here. I don't think the Giants are a well-coached team. And this is year 4. If this were year 2, totally different story. You know what I mean? Like,
I do. I just...
Not to mention he's... Now, I like the fact that he could be a little bit of a hothead.
I got no problem with that.
That can be, as a head coach, in year 4 especially, and I think the pressure's starting to mount, the stuff with the tent, the medical tent, like, you've got to show a calm demeanor as the leader of a football team. You can't be going nuts like that, and he's done that up and down at times. Like, if you're winning, fine. When you're not winning, I think it makes it look worse. There's just been little things, whether it's yelling at the headset, with Wink, like, there's been over 4 years evidence that, you know, those things could potentially be a detriment, losing your cool as well as a head coach.
He's definitely emotionally volatile. I get it. And when you got the wins, then people are like, look at this guy's intense. He's nuts. He's engaged. He's a nut job. When you don't win and you're a little emotionally, at least the perception that you put out there, a little volatile emotionally, I'm sure he's a little bit different in the building, I would hope. Well, then you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt when you win 3, 4, 5 games a year. I don't know, man. I think that they're going to lose a lot of games the rest of the way. And I actually think that there's reasons for that. You know, they don't have a true number one receiver. I don't like their secondary. Now you got Scadaboo out. So I think, though, that if they keep putting up some points and Jackson Dart is balling, I think he's going to be back. And if Dart continues to grow and play well, I don't think I'd go nuts if he's back. As crazy as that sounds, because I've said that I would have fired him last year and the year before. But the thing that's given me some pause now is, man, they've been trying to find this quarterback head coach relationship forever. You finally stumble upon it, or you finally have it, and now you yank the cord? I don't know.
Yeah, if you don't think the guy could win.
Yeah, I mean,
what's the excuse? He's got the quarterback. What's the excuse?
Well, the excuse is the rest of the roster's not very good. It's not. It's not very good. He doesn't have a number one receiver.
Then Joe Shane.
I'm watching the Jets play Jamar Chase. The Giants are running out Darius Slayton.
Yeah, but is that why they lost the Denver game?
No, I'm not saying that.
It's not why they lost the Dallas game.
No, I get that. They do a lot of things wrong, but and this is where I struggle with it, admittedly. Is it all Dable's fault? I don't know. I mean, if the coordinator would have done a better job in Dallas or Denver, he probably gets at least one win there. If the secondary was just better, now I look to Shane, well, then maybe he gets another win. It's just, all I'm saying is I think it's the evaluation's a little trickier because Dart does look good. And I'm not even a big Dable fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Giants lose, Jets win. And I don't know if we mentioned this on the air, BT. I forget. Or off the air. I think we did talk about it on the air. Last week we were talking about it, how the disparity between the two teams couldn't feel greater, and yet it was only two games, and now it's just one. So as bad as things have felt for the Jets all year long, and rightfully so, it's been brutal, it's been ugly, the quarterback can't throw the football, which one? By the way, I will say that there's no way Tyrod Taylor was winning that game yesterday. So for everybody who wanted Tyrod Taylor because they thought he'd give him the best chance to win, no chance in hell they win that game with Tyrod Taylor. Justin Fields was very good yesterday and throwing the football as well. But anyway, the Jets are just one win away from the Giants. That should say all you need to say about the Giants when the Jets are in year one of a rebuild with no quarterback. What's the Giants' excuse?
I mean, you even start getting into some of the numbers. There really shouldn't be much of an excuse there. But the even like the point differential is pretty close. Giants minus 42, Jets minus 53, both awful. But that's kind of the point here. It's like there was just... there was about a three-week ride on the station, on social media. And I'm not saying that it wasn't without any sort of justification. You know, you beat a couple of good teams. It was still early enough. Okay, here we go. But the way it was positioned by some, like the Giants are going to go, you know, whatever they're going to accomplish, this grand accomplishment, you know, and as people often do, they get out in front of their skis because they're desperate, which I also get, because when your team is down for a long time, the first sign of something good, we generally overreact a little bit here. But no, the Giants have two and the Jets have one. And I don't think that it's crazy that the Jets actually finished with more wins than the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, that is a conversation I was thinking about actually yesterday. We could have brought that up. Let me just pull up the schedules here.
Hey, you get the Jets. You get the Giants. I got the Jets.
I got them here. I don't think the Jets. Now, I would say no to that. I'm still going to believe that the Giants, because they just, to me, Jackson Dart, Giants got to be better. I mean, they're built to win some games now. I still think the Giants will get, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. I think the Giants are getting at least 5 more wins.
5?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, at least. And if they don't, then everybody should be fired.
All right, so let's do this. All right, so we'll do it fast here. So Jets obviously have the bye. I want you to give me a quick WL. And
the
then
Jets?
And we'll do
it.
Yep. So this is the Jets. First up off the bye, Browns. Win or loss?
Loss.
All right, at the Pats.
Now that's a home game?
That's
Jets?
A home game to the Browns.
I'm still going to go loss.
All right, at Patriots, loss, I'm assuming. At the Ravens,
loss.
Lamar probably back. Okay, Atlanta home.
Loss.
Okay, Miami home.
Loss.
At Jacksonville.
Loss.
All right. At New Orleans.
I think they can win that game.
Okay. Pats home.
I think they lose that.
Okay.
And probably lose the Bills as well.
And at Buffalo.
Even if I give you one more, because I was being a harsh critic there.
Yeah.
Even if I give you one more, I don't think they're winning more than 3 games.
I don't know that I do either. I just don't think the Giants will necessarily win more
all
than
right,
three. So let me.
I would think
I'm going to give. Okay, go ahead.
Niners.
Loss.
At Bears.
I think they're going to win that game. I think Caleb Williams stinks.
At home against the Packers?
Loss.
At Lions?
Loss.
At Pats?
Loss.
Home against the Commanders?
Oh, boy. I'm going to say loss at that point in the season.
Home against the Vikings?
I'm going to give them a win there.
At Raiders?
I'm going to give them a win.
Okay, and then home against the Cowboys?
Loss.
I mean,
so that's what, I gave them what,
gave three,
them three
wins,
there.
Yeah.
All right, so I gave them three there.
That would get them to 5 total.
And you think the Giants, so you think
they're
at
I
least
think
five, which
7.
Five do they win, though?
I think they're getting 7. They'll win either the Niners or Bears game, maybe both, probably lose the other 3. I think they're going to get 2 of the next 5, and then I think they're going to get at least 3 of the next 4.
So
I
think they finish, what, 7-10?
Yeah, I think they should get the 7 wins. I mean, Dude, they're better than the Cowboys. Like, they should be. The Cowboys stink. The Cowboys stink. I'm tired of hearing about the offense. If the Giants can't beat the Cowboys at home, now who the hell knows what's going to happen then? They should be able to beat the Cowboys at home. Raiders on the road, Vikings at home, Commanders at home. Like, at some point, you got to take off the training wheels here. I mean, geez. Division games against less than teams. I'm not asking you to beat the Eagles, which you did at home. You beat the Eagles at home. You can't beat the Commanders. You can't beat the Vikings. Can't beat the Cowboys. Can't beat the Niners. I mean, the Niners aren't that good. Now, I don't know if Purdy's going to play this week or not. Mac Jones been in there for a while. They're okay. Niners are okay. They've been inconsistent. And same thing with Chicago. Chicago stinks. Caleb Williams stinks.
But he's a mess. He threw one pick yesterday, double coverage, down 2 or 3 points late from his own end zone. That was absolutely disgracefully disgusting.
So
he's not there next year.
Now, they actually have to go out there and do it. It's not like just wholehearted belief in them, but I believe that there are winnable games on this Giants schedule. As long as Jackson Dart stays healthy. Now, again, Scadaboo out is going to hurt them, but that shouldn't cripple their plans. They still have the defense in place that should have some success this year. They got to go out there and do it. I don't trust the coaching staff necessarily, but if they don't get to at least 6-7 wins, then I think everybody should be wiped out. Everybody. Shane, Dable, all the coaches. See you later.
Yeah,
don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Clean them out. So, listen. It's funny how we do this. We say Dallas stinks, these teams stink, and they might. So do the Giants.
Yeah.
The Giants can't stop the run, and that's not going to change.
Well, I mean, they did beat the Eagles, and they did beat the Chargers, and they should have beat the Broncos on the road. So,
All right, so the Jets should have beat the Steelers, and but you didn't. You win or you lose. The Giants gave up 300 yards rushing.
Understood.
300!
I understand. I mean, they should be better than what they are, but I don't think those other teams are any good. They should have beat the Cowboys week two.
I think the Giants go... I mean, listen, back to the Jet-Giant thing, and there's just a ton of variables, obviously, injuries, etc. If I had to say right now, I think the Giants finish up 4-13. I'm going to say 5-12. I think they both finish 5-12.
You think the Jets get to 5 wins?
They already got 2.
The Jets?
Yeah.
What do you mean they got 2?
I mean, when if they beat the Browns and they get to,
you're
2.
You're giving them a win against the Browns?
Well, not giving them. Saying that they got a chance.
It didn't get quick to get you back on the...
No. I mean, listen, I think that the 5 right now strikes me as ambitious for both, quite frankly. I just don't know... I mean, So we sit here and say the Giants are... What are the Giants good at? What are they really good at?
Well, I think...
And I'm going to ask you the same question for the Jets.
I think their quarterback is very good.
I love Jackson Dart.
Yeah.
So he's... All right, so Dart's good. All right, what else? What else about their team is really good?
I mean, Brian Burns is leading the league.
Phenomenal.
Going in yesterday.
Yeah. All pro season so far. To me, that's about it.
Okay.
They don't have a receiver that scares you. Their secondary is not very good and banged up. They can't stop the run. And then when I said, well, what's good about the Jets?
Nothing.
For me, the answer is pretty much nothing.
Right.
Oh, no, that's not true. The ability to run the ball. Mm. The problem is when you fall behind big, which sometimes they have, you can't run the ball as much. So when you look at both, and it's a very easy answer for both teams. I don't think either team does anything exceptionally well. So, there's a lot of road games. There's a couple of teams that are good. I just don't see a lot of wins either way. I'd love to be wrong. I'm happy Glenn got a win. I like to see Dable and Dart go nuts. I just don't see it.
But when you're playing,
teams aren't good.
When you're playing without a quarterback and you're in year one of a rookie head coach, I think the expectations need to be lowered. They should be lowered.
Fair.
The Giants are not. This is year four. They have a defense that was built to win now, and they have a quarterback that has elevated their team. So there is no excuse. Like, I don't want to hear it. Wow, this team's good. No, I don't want to hear it. You got to go out there and win. So the expectation to me should be higher for the Giants. Whether they achieve those expectations or not, different story. But I think that their expectation should be better than where the Jets are at.
I'd love to know what John Mara is thinking right now. God, because that's really all that matters. I would love to know. I have to think that he's fairly enamored with the way Dart looks and the way Dable is working with him. Now, does that become the main narrative? I don't know that it would be if I owned the team, but we don't.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Brian Kelly getting bounced from LSU.
Yeah.
Dude, is there a better job in the world once you've made it as a college head coach, college football head coach?
Yep.
That's the golden ticket.
It's the parachute, man.
You have success at a smaller school. Now, I know Brian Kelly's a little different story, but still, he got the Notre Dame job. So once you're in high demand, you have the success at a smaller school, and then you got multiple big programs coming after you.
Mm-hmm.
Franklin, obviously. You get the big money deal. And then you're set. That's it. There is no better job in the world than to be the head coach of a college football team, because no matter what happens, you're getting paid big time money. Like, they could fire you at Penn State. You're James Franklin. You're walking away with, what, 50-something million?
Well, I know that Kelly's buyout is going to exceed $50 million.
Dude,
absolutely nuts.
$50 million?
Dude, he lost 14 games in 4 years at LSU.
And he's going to walk away with $50 million and not have to work a day in his life?
Yeah, I'll tell you, though. I think I'd rather make less money and not have to deal with the transfer portal and the NILs. Like, in a lot of, like, the money is just, it's grotesque. The amount of money these coaches make, but the job in a lot of ways is a lot tougher.
And it's not results-based. You're getting that job based on what you did. Like, obviously, you have to earn it to get to that level, but you don't even have to maintain that performance. Once you get that golden ticket of a contract, that's it. Like, put in the hard work yourself up, have a successful program for a year or two, get bought by a big school, and that's it. Like, in the NFL, man, I wouldn't want any part of the NFL head coaching the way that is. Would you rather be Brian Daboll or James Franklin or Brian Kelly?
Yeah, I'll take the college. I mean, you could do TV, jump on game day, play a little golf.
Dude, you could go home.
I know.
That's it, $54 million, you fail.
It's
Brian
a wrap.
Kelly couldn't be worse with LSU. And yet he's walking away with $50 million. Doesn't have to work a day in his life.
But the thing that we gloss over here, and this matters, is that you're a coach. I know the money's amazing. And I just said to myself, go play golf, take a nap on the hammock, have some iced tea on the porch, do a little TV. Like, you didn't get into coaching because you thought you'd have a $50 million golden parachute waiting for you when you failed at LSU. You got into coaching because it's in your blood, and you were bouncing around, you know, graduate assistant, making $12,000, $13,000, $15,000, $18,000 a year. So, yeah, when you look at what Kelly's got waiting for him, we'd all sign up for that. But
yeah.
Coaches want to coach.
Okay. Well, I mean, he should have then done a better job at LSU if you wanted to coach. And I'm sure he could go somewhere else. You wouldn't be able to find me at all. Now, I would like to think that if I were offered that opportunity, I'd do better.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
No,
like,
yeah, with the 14 losses.
Well,
it's tough at LSU now, because now if you don't have the money, and LSU doesn't quite have that fund that some of these other schools do, they're not going there like they used to. So LSU, the talent that LSU would get is insane. And you knew, see, the problem with Brian Kelly, remember when he, I think it was at a basketball game. Remember
yeah,
when
I
he
know,
took the mic
voice.
And he gave you the fake accent, Baton
yeah.
Rouge. What, dude, what are you doing?
I know. Well, that's the thing.
I mean, come on, you got to be your authentic self. By the way, speaking of coaching.
Yeah.
So I had a little interesting situation over the weekend. So I coached my first game since I got... Got the little boot ski in the Little League, right? and I go up to home plate, and I hadn't ever met these two, at least I didn't recall these two umpires. Really nice, one young, one old, the great guys. Actually, I found out later, big fans of the show too, in the station. And the guy goes, he looks at me deadpan, not even joking. He's like, oh. So they lifted the suspension. Huh? You're back. I said, that's a good line there, Blue.
Did you get suspended?
No, oh, I didn't. Okay. Well, I did. I got suspended for the one game, but it's not like I didn't get a Pete Rose suspension. No.
How'd you do?
We won playoff game.
All right.
And we got another one tonight.
Oh, you're back on the sideline or on
there.
The bench?
I'll be back there.
You're back in.
Yeah, I'm back. I got pulled back in.
You're back in.
I'm back in.
I did not. This is
it
breaking.
It was never permanent. It was just for a couple of different reasons. First of all, the fall is very busy for me. That's the main impetus there. But yeah, I got pulled back in. A couple of guys couldn't make it. They said, can you jump in? I says, yeah, you know, for my players, anything. And right back to third base, running the bags aggressively. A little 2-1 playoff win.
You'd rather coach. I'd rather be
On the beach?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. You guys want to fire me? Thank you, boosters. Okay. when do I get my, what is it, $50 million? Okay. Where do I sign?
Yeah.
See you later.
Mike Belichick's going to get eventually. I mean, he's got buyouts and some other thing. Who knows?
Bill's
like
a weird
the legal.
One.
He is a, what a strange situation that is. God.
He's a weird one because he had the greatest leg. He was the greatest head coach of all time, and he ruined his legacy with this Jordan Hudson, with North Carolina. I can't believe how bad it's gotten. Like, it was bad at the end with New England, and now New England having success, and mm-hmm. Bill has looked like, as a, like a clown.
What is their record? I don't even know if the top. They have two. Were they 2-4? 2-5? 2-6?
I just read
you know
that
what they are.
They coughed a bad one up.
I know. They would have had a signature win. I saw that. You know off the top of your head, UNC's record?
I'm trying to pull it up.
By the way, my man Mendoza looked really good over the weekend again for Indiana.
Yeah, they spanked. Who were they playing?
They won. They crushed UCLA, I believe
it
was.
Right?
So UNC here is, let's see.
One win. They beat Richmond.
Yeah, it's basically one double A. You pay Richmond. You pay Charlotte.
2-5, that's it?
Is that what it is? 2-5?
Wow.
All right, so let me ask you.
Are you sure about that, Hoff?
I'm not sure about that.
Hoff?
I'm not sure about
that. I see three. Well, what do you mean? Are you looking up?
Thanks,
buddy.
I see it 2-5.
All right, well, we'll go with 2-5. Listen.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at it.
Sounds about right.
I'm going back to last year. They had more wins last year.
They did. Mac Brown. So, since we started this with the Giants and obviously the Jets, and we'll get back to the football calls here, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. I'll throw this at you. You can take a little swing. You can push it down the road. You can take a monster whack. Whatever you want to do. Let's say the Giants absolutely flame out the rest of the way and don't get that many wins. And that's kind of what I expect. I expect fewer wins than you do. And let's say they move on from Brian Daboll, as they will if that's the situation. And Belichick bounces from UNC, which he will. He's got to run from there. You don't call him?
You'd have to.
You have to call the guy.
I know, but I say you have to call him. But, I mean, there's recent evidence that would suggest that maybe he doesn't have it anymore. You know what I mean?
You got to lose the honey. She can't be on the Giants sidelines like she is at UNC.
You think you go for that at this point?
I don't know, man. I mean, he's going to want to salvage his reputation unless he is so madly and deeply in love. And God bless you if that's the case, where the reality of how he's damaging his legacy is truly not hitting him. But eventually it's going to. Like, when this season's over and the tombstone is written for and placed in the dirt for his 1 year at UNC, because it's not going to be a year two, and they're 3-9 or whatever the hell they're going to be, and he's sent packing and it's embarrassing. He's going to want to save a little bit of face here.
Well, and what better spot than the New York Football Giants?
Who he reveres.
With a quarterback in place. Let me ask you something. You think Belichick would have a better record than Brian Daboll right now with the same exact team?
Yes.
Me too.
Yes, because he'd be more involved in the defense, no question. Yeah. Not by many, but yes, they would have a better record, yes.
Yeah, I don't think he's blown those games either, whether it would be Dallas, whether it be Denver. Yeah, I think so too. I just think he's a better, he wouldn't mess around with the kicker. Like, he's a better, he knows how to win games.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to win. The problem has been maybe talent, maybe a little too hands-on, especially after Brady left, like, meaning picking his guy. You know, Mac Jones, by the way, has had some success with San Francisco.
Yes. He has.
But with Jackson Dart, I mean, I would be very tempted. I am not. I would not move on from Daboll and go with a first-time head coach.
That's where I was going. If they do that, they're absolutely lost.
All right, so then who are the guys? Would you rather have Belichick? Would you go Gruden?
I would absolutely call Lane Kiffin. Yeah, I've said that. Ole Miss, I would say. I would call Gruden. I'd have a conversation with Belichick. I would as well. Lane Kiffin. I'd have to see who else gets fired.
I don't know about Lane Kiffin.
What about Mike Tomlin gets fired?
Yeah, well, that's a different story, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he's going to get fired, but yeah.
Probably not.
All right, but we don't know. John Harbaugh?
I'm not as high on John Harbaugh as you are.
I don't know why. Costos was ripping him, too.
I'm not going to rip him. I'm just saying, like, without great quarterback play, he doesn't ever win.
I mean, they just won yesterday without Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying. Come on.
I mean, he's won a Super Bowl before with Joe Flacco. Like, I don't know. I believe in – now – again, I would believe in a resume with these head coaches. I'm not saying he's the greatest coach right now going, but I would have wanted Jim Harbaugh over him if John Harbaugh is available. Like, I'd rather get a retread guy like Harbaugh who's won before. Yeah, I don't think Harbaugh's Brian Billick. Like, it's John Harbaugh here. Like, he knows what he's doing as far as coaching a football team.
I would, listen, for me, I thought there was a point where John Harbaugh was top two, top three coach in the NFL. I don't think that anymore. I think he's a little overrated. He's still good. So I'm not saying that he shouldn't be an option.
He's also been there forever, BT. Like, you know, sometimes being in one spot.
Maybe. There's something to be said for being galvanized by going to a new spot. I get you. Again, you can do a lot worse than John Harbaugh, but they cannot, the Cardinals sin. If they go coordinator again, I mean, please save us.
John is calling from Valley Stream. What's up, John?
Hey, John.
Hey, what's up, boys? Gruden. It's got to be an adult in charge somewhere in this organization. I'm sorry. That's the guy for me. I mean, I know I'm going to sound like a broken record, but it's 4 years. They all got to go. Every single one of them. This coalition of morons running this team has got to go. I mean, 14-0 as a Saints game. I went from running around my basement, high-fiving my sons. We got a quarterback. We got a quarterback. To stroking out every Monday with you two again.
But you still have the quarterback.
How many times can I watch and repeat this?
Yeah, but John, I get it. I mean, but you still have the quarterback. So when you were running around high-fiving your son, you should still be doing that. You got Dart. You got him.
Yeah, but I got Daboll riding shotgun with him. You got to get him away from this guy.
God. Yeah, I mean, you'll probably get your wish if they lose as many games as I think they will the rest of the way.
Hang in there, John, and thank you for the call. We appreciate you checking in with us. It's not as bad as it's been because you have the answer at quarterback. However, there's a long way to go to get it to where we thought it could be and where it certainly needs to be. And I just don't understand at this point. Now, again, we're going to see 9 games here of what Dable could do. If he could actually start winning some of these games, maybe that could change some of the perception. Maybe that could change the reality surrounding his job. But he's actually got to start winning. And through 8 weeks, they haven't won. So it's not anymore about, well, can he develop his own quarterback? Not to mention the Daniel Jones thing. Like, I don't know how people could overlook that. I know he's not here anymore, but isn't that more telling than even Dable's hideous record since he's been here? The fact that he had Daniel Jones and in 1 year, Shane Steichen could turn Daniel Jones into an MVP and Dable had him for 3 years and nothing?
I think that that's an easy narrative, and I agree with it a little bit. Not entirely. Shane Steichen's got a lot more talent. That offensive line has been together for a while. They're really good. Jonathan Taylor's having a sick season. They got a tight end. Like, they got some weapons, man. I get it. It looks worse. It adds to the, look at this. It just makes the organization look worse. I know we got a break, though. I got you. The one thing that I do see that's returning, which is actually, in a weird way, good. Like, there was a fair amount of apathy within the Giant fan base for a while. I think the Giant fans, they got their teeth back. Like, they're ready to like, just the fact that they're, that last caller, that's a good... That's a good, you know, good sense of where they're at. I think for too many years, and I don't blame you, like the Jet fans kind of there now to an extent, certainly before yesterday's win. You just checked out. It's going to be awful. You don't really care. You can't even muster up or feign real anger. Giant fans gotten their bite back. And, you know, maybe they win more than I think they're going to win over these final 9. And then the season's on and, you know, future's on. We'll see. But I think the Giant fans have been awoken this year. At least the return to some degree, Sal, of Giants pride. A little bit.
BT and Sal on the Fan. More your calls. We'll reset down with the King topic of the day when we come back. 888-808-1019.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.